Welcome to Sonata Secrets with Henrik Chilham, unlocking the world of classical music. To start the set of three intermezzi, opus 117, Johannes Brahms takes two lines from an old Scottish ballad and writes a lullaby. Bellow, my babe, lie still and sleep. It grieves me sore to see you weep. Are the musical features that makes it into a lullaby? Well, it's mainly three things. A gentle rocking rhythm that's always going but slow and soothing, and calm note values in the melody, and the harmony feels at home a lot and doesn't stray too far out. And let's compare it with Brahms' more famous lullaby that's originally a song, but you can play the melody on piano. The same key of E-flat major, but it's the same features, a slow rocking rhythm in triple time, and grounded with a pedal point on the tonic in the bass, and calm note values. And also Chopin wrote a lullaby, berceuse, it's a French word for lullaby, late Chopin, but again it's the same, slow triple time, with a tonic pedal point again and calm note values. Lovely music as well. So the melody is actually in the middle here, and the E flat notes more ornamental. And it's really hard to get the balance right, because you need to play really loud for the melody and kind of soft for the top voice, so that they're not taking too much focus. We're still only E flat major. So now we move to the first inversion, a deep G. It's kind of ambiguous, because there's no fifth until the B flat comes. It's kind of flirting with C, it could be C minor, then E flat major, and straight back with the proper cadence. Then the melody goes up, so sweet gesture here. And again, it's in the middle. The melody is actually but it's getting even harder to differentiate it with the top voice, because it's a secondary voice. Just lovely. It's going to the 4, A flat major, extra 6, to 1, so like a plagal move, same but continuing, and back to E flat major again. It feels really nice, because we have a lot of super nice lush chords before that, so we get an entry of the melody in the bass. And here we're in B flat, the dominant, and now we we find the way back to E flat with these super nice block chords, just diatonic scale note, and this chord. So suspensions going to B flat 7, but these notes are also in the chord of B flat 11, like the chord that promises the whole world, and resolving. Very, very nice. Happy. So, same melody, but now. So, the same motif, and the first time it's this ambiguous. First inversion. Now we get like the point is it's a new version here, it's a proper C minor. So, it's kind of sad here momentarily. Then switching back to the happy place. So this is an F pointing to B flat, and then B flat pointing to E flat. So it's just a nice round trip, F7, B flat 7, back to E flat. And here, melody one octave higher. Now we get a rhythmic variation. We see the rocking rhythm is temporarily suspended, and instead we have this hemiola of a bigger bar of three instead of two short cells of three. One and two and three and... Well, the melody is still feeling the 6-8 in two like that. And the melody is splitting here in two voices somehow. So together is kind of a rhythmic tension, but still very nice. One final thing here. I think I play these arpeggios kind of on the beat, like starting on the beat, because it's slightly hard to get the legato right after this chord, that it's like, how should you do with the pedal? So the solution is to start the arpeggio on the beat. Some chromatic tension in the bass here with a chromatic passing notes. Same melodic material and proper cadence to E flat major. This is basically the whole first main section. Now we get four bars that act as a transition to the middle section. So, and it's something completely new. So these bars are in A flat minor. It's the same melodic material, but the character is really something different. It's a hint of the darkness that's coming. So, and then the bass takes over. This is the same melody. In the beginning we have it in E flat major. And now if we think A flat minor, it's a lot of flats here. A flat minor would be seven flats. It's the same melody. So in the beginning it's only sole octaves. Kind of spooky and also foreboding. The third intermezzo on the set, that in C sharp minor, just play the beginning of that because it's like the same idea. Minor, but only one octave. And some chords in the end. So that's just a hint of that. Then we get some bass. again. Some more tension here. And it's kind of chromatically going towards A minor. This is clearly a tonic feeling here. But it acts as a smooth transition to E flat minor. Here we see the key signature. Six flats is E flat minor of the middle section. Then A flat minor is the four in E flat. So that's the transition. And this middle section, it feels like it's two voices that are in dialogue in the different registers, and they're taking turns and kind of laying out their thoughts. It's a new character, much darker, più adagio, slower, and goes like this. So here we get some kind of start again, and this is E flat minor, and here it's in root position. So when it starts, it's E flat minor, but it's in second inversion with B flat, the fifth in the bass, kind of unstable, and a lot of tension. So it's so dark and sad, this whole section, almost hopeless even, and it's kind of strange with the epigraph that says, "It grieves me sore to see you weep," because babies cry all the time, like it's natural. So there has to be some deeper tragedy at play here. That's the only explanation. Like it's not just a baby crying, it's actually something really wrong about the, you know, yeah. I don't know what it is, just musically the direction is serious. I'm going to skip over a complete harmonic analysis because it's very complicated, but it moves around E flat minor and kind of modulates to B flat minor here. This is in B flat minor, and then kind of going back with a lot of tension in the chords. So here, B flat going on to E flat minor. So here is the middle part of the middle section. We get the same material. That's the same, but now the harmony is different. The first time it's... So the second part here is this dominant flat 9 chord, diminished with an extra bass note. Second time we get this nice chord. Neapolitan chord. So from E flat minor, it looks like you're going to the 4 in the bass, A flat, and the Neapolitan is always a substitute for the 4 chord. So instead of A flat minor, you switch one of these notes to this, so you get a major chord. It's E major or F flat major. But it's always with a third in the bass, and the bass is the fourth in E flat minor in the key. So it's a substitute for the 4 chord. But it has this amazing effect. Suddenly it's a bit lighter. But not really. And like kind of complicated chords, I'm not gonna go into detail, but they're just super nice. Lush. Here we're approaching a cadence. This is a cadence in to E flat minor, B flat 7, and a sus 4 resolving. Same Neapolitan again. Same cadence. So we get these kind of points of stability when we leave the 16th notes and we get points of rests of longer note values here. And towards the end, this is the end of the middle section. It's not very long, but it still takes like a minute or two to play slow tempo. Here we get the hemiola again. So it's the same rhythm, but it's a prolonged rhythm. Instead of it's and then moving on and going to E flat, almost E flat 7 with the D flat. Like it could go to A flat minor here. But that's not what Brahms wanted after this E flat. He's just staying in E flat, like it's drawn out ending. So then when the next section comes, we just take E flat major as the tonic and we get the recapitulation of the main theme. The same material, it's slightly expanded with extra voices. This bell sound is now higher. A detail with a tempo marking. It's the same material, but actually slightly different the marking here. The first time it's andante moderato, but now it's un poco più andante. So does that mean in relation to the middle section that was più adagio, or does it mean in relation to the first section? I don't think we're completely sure. I had a professor at Music Academy when I studied that said it should be slower here. I'm not sure it makes a huge difference, but still it's a nice detail to notice it. Also this, like the way it's written, you can switch hands. Or let the melody go in the middle and change hands. But I actually, as you maybe saw, I cross hands in order to keep the legato, to keep this line in one hand. I find it easier to balance the sound this way. But both are possible. It's slightly uncomfortable. Okay, now for the second round we get this amazing 16th notes. And this is the same. And now 16th notes, just expanding. It's full of joy and hope. To the dolce. So Brahms actually written tranquillo here so that you shouldn't let it run away with you and make crescendo. It should still be restrained. Typical Brahms thing. And these block chords. The 11. Now this resolution after C minor is yet a new variation. So the first time it's it goes to B flat, but now same melody but goes to G minor with this is a dominant D7 with the E-flat is the flat 9 again. But D minor, then it's still close, we go immediately back to the happy place. this is just the ending. This time it's actually not the hemiola here. And just, I find there's like a vague similarity with another lovely piece, a nocturne by Chopin in F minor. Towards the end, you get some nice extra figuration over the theme. Let's just show that. I mean, it's different in many ways, but there's something that feels similar. So this nocturne. And now in the end, we get this. So on, etc. So just there's some similarity. Kind of gets consolidated here with a low register. So stay on the dominant here, B flat 7. But instead of going straight to the tonic resolving, Brahms just take the short detour going back to the 4 chord. A flat again. And back to the 5 dominant. And if you want, you can take an extra round here as a loop. I'm kind of kidding, I don't think the music really warrants it, but it's funny because it's the same chord and it stops, and then finally you get the resolution. And just ends very calmly in E flat major. And I think this piece is really interesting with this juxtaposition with the niceties of this section and the darkness of the middle section. And somehow in the end, that middle section is very far away. We've been lulled to sleep in the nice E-flat major way again, but it's a really interesting piece. Anyway, thanks for watching Sonata Secrets. The Patreon shoutout goes to B.